Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Let's talk about why, as individuals and as a nation, we still find it so hard to talk about some things. Things like slavery.
Despite the fact that our nation was founded on the most noble notions of freedom and equality, many believe that some men were more equal than others. As I dug deeper into the family trees of my three guests, this contradiction became ever more apparent.
Well, that is the noted Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. in an episode of his PBS series, Finding Your Roots, a show where Gates digs into the deep family histories of famous Americans. The episode you heard from was called Roots of Freedom. Actor Ben Affleck was one of Gates' guests. And by now, you've probably heard that Affleck didn't want all of his roots exposed because one of his ancestors was a slave owner. Well, this week, WikiLeaks revealed new documents from the Sony hack, specifically a series of emails between Gates and one of his close friends at Sony. Gates writes in an email, quote, "For the first time, one of our guests has asked us to edit out something about one of his ancestors, the fact that he owned slaves. We've never had anyone ever try to censor or edit what we found. He's a megastar. What do we do?" Well, we know what they did. When the episode aired last October, there was no mention of Affleck's slave-holding ancestor. Now, this raises all sorts of questions about email privacy, editorial integrity, journalism, and star power. But we want to reach down and talk about something deeper, something even more fundamental. Why was Affleck uncomfortable with revealing his family's true history? What did he really fear? Why is it still so hard to talk about slavery? And what are we missing out on when we refuse to have those conversations? So joining us now to talk about all of this is Beverly Morgan Welch, Executive Director at the Museum of African American History on Beacon Hill. Beverly Morgan Welch, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Great to have you. Also with us today from KQED in San Francisco is Tricia Rose, Professor and Director of Brown University's Center for the Study of Race and Ethnicity in America. Tricia Rose, welcome back to the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
It's great to have you as well. I mean, let me just start off by asking both of you to give me your first thoughts about just your reaction when you heard that there was discomfort. I mean, Ben Affleck in a statement later used the word embarrassment about exposing this part of his family's history to America. I mean, Beverly, let's start with you.
It's a history that we have been in denial of, a history that basically, black people have been told to get over, and it's a history that we haven't been taught anything about. So we don't have the knowledge to discuss it. We don't have the vocabulary. We don't have the emotional intelligence to look at it. And we certainly have a history that is told in this country that is about heroes, basically about white male heroes. And when you have to take a look at your own family, I mean, this is kind of your worst nightmare, reality TV meets history, in living color, if you will. Right. And it's a very difficult thing to deal with if you were dealing with it in a room all by yourself.
Tricia Rose, your thoughts?
Yes, well, I mean, Beverly hit on a number of important points. I think the most important thing I'd want to add to this is that we've really been produced as sort of illiterate citizens on both the importance of slavery, the ongoing significance of its impact, and we haven't developed a collective multiracial narrative about what the United States was and is that allows for the existence and impact of slavery. So that is to say, we're telling a story, a type of heroic story, a type of story about our past that invites us constantly to suppress slavery or to treat slavery and white supremacy and, legacies of racism that are just really never ending so far, that it invites us to treat all of that as a kind of exception or as an isolated problem or as something that we, you know, just isn't really at the core of how our nation comes into being. So until we fundamentally deal with that and work together in a more restorative justice model, we're going to find not only embarrassment and shame, but anger at people who attempt to focus on these issues and to create and resistance to creating a collective story that we can actually heal around.
Right. You know, so there's so many things about this that just perplexed me because I mean, to be honest, I feel like there's something of a very justified criticism towards the type of Northeastern liberal that Ben Affleck represents. I mean, he's very politically aware. We know what his aspirations and sensitivities are, but he keeps using this language. He has this statement that he put out this week. He said, "I didn't want any television show about my family to include a guy who owned slaves. I was embarrassed." And then he says later that when he participates in a show like this, the assumption is that they, being the producers, will never be dishonest, but they will respect your willingness to participate and not look to include things that you think would embarrass your family. I mean, Beverly, it seems like there's this still, among someone who shouldn't have any reason to have any kind of denial, a denial that slavery is part of our collective history and sometimes it's going to be part of our personal history.
Of course. In Massachusetts and New England, there are a number of people who really do not connect slavery to the Northeast. Everyone was an abolitionist, and clearly slavery never happened here. And let's hold on to the notion that Massachusetts abolished slavery first, which is forgetting the notion that Massachusetts was the first to legalize slavery. Add to it, that Ben is from Cambridge, you know, this very elite and a place that sees itself as very progressive. And I think that rather than, if you will, focusing on him as someone who has trouble talking about this, he clearly hasn't even had enough time to think about it and digest it and talk to others about it who could help him better understand what it is he's afraid of, how this really makes his interior, you know, feel. What is his real emotional response to this? I mean, this is a reality in this country. You are in favor of civil rights and liberties. You're going to have to deal with the fact that that means that the history that we're overcoming makes for a discussion of these civil rights and liberties.
Tricia Rose, what do you think it means that Ben Affleck felt that he, you know, he did have something to be afraid of in 2015 that we're in now?
I didn't hear him say he was afraid. I heard him say he was embarrassed.
Yeah, and, but I guess what I'm reflecting is like I was looking at Ty Burr's article in the Globe today, and mm-hmm. he said the stain isn't that Affleck had ancestors who owned slaves; is that he thought we'd think less of him. You know, so
right.
You know, maybe I guess I'm reacting to that. Like, is it true that people would think? I just don't know anyone that I know who would think less of someone for having a connection to slavery in their past, because it's in everyone's past who's in America, an American.
Well, but that's not the story, you know, we tell. I mean, of course, we all have very problematic and negative elements in our family history, but when it's attached to a subject that the nation feels such fundamental shame about because it hasn't tried to heal the real issues that it set up, right, then that fact becomes the source of embarrassment, which becomes shameful, and the fear is that people will judge you based on that kind of lineage. And part of it is that what we've allowed to happen, unfortunately, in our history sort of education, is that people think today is today, then is then. Even in regions where there was, you know, much more substantial slavery and pro-slavery sentiment, right? This is now, that was then. It's a very historically truncated idea So I think that might, those two things may have contributed to his worry.
Listeners, we're talking about why it's so hard to talk about slavery. And this conversation is happening in the context of recent revelations that Ben Affleck did not want part of his own family history revealed in a PBS series called Finding Your Roots that is produced by Harvard Press Professor Henry Louis Gates Jr. So we're curious, have you ever done a genealogical investigation of your own family roots? Did you find things about your ancestors that left you unsettled or uncomfortable, specifically when it comes to America's history with slavery? What was your reaction to that? And why do you think it is still so hard for us, the collective us here in America, to talk about slavery and its impact on our history? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Beverly Morgan Welsh, let me ask you, when, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about the fact that we still don't have a good vocabulary to discuss this. Why do you think that is after so very long, when, you know, we've come seemingly so far in talking about race and history?
I don't know that we've come so very far in talking about race or history. We no longer teach civics. There are many students that don't know anything about the Constitution. If what you know is we were these wonderful people who broke away from the British and it's all about freedom, justice, and the American way and the pursuit of happiness, and you don't have very deep understanding of the numbers of people who were involved, what kind of work did they do? How did they contribute to the economy? What happened to them? When were they in the census? And I'll tell you, in my own search for genealogy, when I saw my great-grandmother as listed as enslaved in 1870, huh, I'm like, who was taking the census? Didn't they know that slavery was over? Yet the person, you know, it's just an individual writing it down, wrote it down, and there it is. And it was painful. I know that wasn't her status legally, but what the heck does that mean? And it's not something I've gotten over. I still don't understand it, haven't figured it out, and there aren't a lot of records to deal with that. So we're not taught this in school. It's not a discussion that we have and understand within our own families. And it certainly is very difficult to emotionally deal with something that we don't even have enough knowledge to know about.
Right. On that point, I actually just want to play a little bit of tape from the Finding Your Roots series. This features an entirely different guest. It's CNN host Anderson Cooper, who also went through this personal investigation with Henry Louis Gates Jr. And it's interesting because of recent episodes in Finding Your Roots, many of the guests have slavery or slave owning in their family histories. So we have a cut here where Anderson Cooper first finds out that not only did one of his great-grandfathers, if I remember this correctly, own slaves, but that this man was killed by one of his own slaves.
Wow. Your ancestor was beaten to death with a farm hoe.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. This is incredible. I'm blown away.
You think he deserved it?
Yeah.
You do?
I have no doubt.
It's a horrible way to die, Anderson.
He had 12 slaves. I don't feel bad for him.
Okay.
Honestly, part of me thinks that's awesome.
But it is your blood ancestor.
So I don't want to offend other relatives of mine. I feel bad for the man who killed him, and I feel bad for the 11 other unnamed people who God only knows what happened to them.
Now, I find this really interesting because there's Anderson Cooper reacting to not only the fact that one of his ancestors was a slaveholder, but that this man was killed by one of his own slaves. And he comes back to this idea that the 12 people who were enslaved by his ancestors, their names are never recorded. I mean, Gates couldn't find any evidence of these people's names. And that's what he keeps coming back to. I mean, Tricia Rose, is that, this is why I feel like there's always room for conversation about what's missing in our history and what we're not talking about.
Right, right. And that's really a lot of what the Finding Your Roots series is really trying to get at, you know, is trying to use a very hot mechanism right now, the idea that we can do this kind of research through a combination of, you know, science and an archive, to expose a much more complex history to which we are directly tethered, right? Because there is this mental disjuncture that we've created. It's not just, you know, unfortunately, it's not just family insofar as these are relatives, right, who were blood related to, but that there are also legacies around power and influence and resources that carry forward. So the unknown names of those people, their offspring, their legacy, people, even if we had their names, would be vastly different than Anderson Cooper's, you know, relatives. And that's what we have to really start to use this really important information to confront.
Right. You know, and a little later in that episode, Gates tells Cooper that they were able to figure out what happened to the slave who killed Anderson Cooper's ancestor. He was sentenced to death by hanging with no trial. So that was the end of that man. Let's take some calls here. We've got some interesting calls. Thomas is calling from Provincetown. You're on the air, Thomas.
Hi, ladies. How are you today?
Doing really well. What's your thought, Thomas?
Well, you know, as far as I can see, you know, we're all mutts. We're all somewhere mixed in some kind of in our genealogy. I'm part English. I'm a quarter English, I'm a quarter Mohawk, and I'm mostly black male American. And, you know, somewhere in my English ancestry, I have never done a genealogy tree, but I guarantee you that somewhere on the white side of my family, there were slave owners at some point. And then on the opposite side, there were slaves in my family on my black side. It's a double-edged sword. And, you know, we all carry some kind of lineage of this past is connected to us. If we're from the United States, if we live in this country, it's connected. There's a line that connects all of us to it.
Mm. Thomas, thank you so very much for your call. Let's turn to Andy, who's calling from Newton. You're on the air, Andy.
Hi. My family, I really enjoy this conversation because I teach in the schools, and the conversation is, well, the kids are, well, I'm black, so I come from slave, and I'm going, well, but Native Americans were slaves too, and other people were slaves. My own family was raised in Boston and tries to deny their black heritage because in Boston, in the 20s and 30s, it was not something to be proud of to be black. So they tried to raise up their Native American history instead of paying attention to the black history within our family. I cannot even find my genealogy. I would love it if someone would dig up my genealogy and find out where they all came from.
Huh. Andy, thank you so much for your call. Beverly Morgan Welsh, you were sort of nodding there as Andy was speaking.
Yes, it's we are a country that, in denial of its history, has made it very difficult, and people have made choices about their racial identity. And we have ourselves in some of our research found people who say, oh, no, my grandfather or great-grandfather was not black, he was Native, and we know that these people are some of the most ardent black abolitionists of the 19th century and well known. So, but we've never pressed the point because obviously somewhere along the line, someone chose to deny that history. And it's a sad personal reality, and it's probably happened far more than we will ever know. But it is also just the denial of the effects of slavery and the way in which it has not only defined our culture, but it has defined our economy and our lives in many, many ways.
Let's take another call here. John's calling from Melrose. You're on the air, John.
Hey, thanks very much. I love this topic. I'm a great fan of genealogy. I'm also a fan of human history and pain. And I know people have been talking about the Armenian Genocide, of course, the Holocaust, the Jewish Holocaust, the Irish Famine. And this, it needs to be talked about.
Yeah. John, yeah. I mean, tell me more. I mean, what about your own family history? I mean, how does this touch you personally?
Well, the way I see it is, it's a struggle today within the white community how to define it. They cannot... you know, talk about it, obviously. It's difficult.
Hmm. John, thank you so much for your call. Tricia Rose, on that point, there's another little piece of tape that I want to play from Finding Your Roots. Hmm. And this is where Henry Louis Gates is speaking to Ben Jealous, who's the former president of the NAACP. And they're talking about Jealous's third great-grandfather, Peter G. Morgan, who was a man who championed equal rights for freed slaves following the Civil War. And here's what Ben Jealous had to say.
This is a man with a fire to be free. We all want to believe that we descend from somebody like that.
We all want to believe that we descend from somebody like that. I was really taken when Jealous said that, because doesn't that get to the heart of why it's so hard to talk about this? Because not everyone was a Peter G. Morgan, right? And we want to tell ourselves a collective story that as Americans, we descend from people who had a constant fire to be free. And yet, you know, some of those people were also slave owners. I mean, your thought about that.
Yeah. I mean, sure, we all want heroic relatives, but, you know, when it comes to other categories, we're not nearly as disturbed when it's not true. I mean, I'm sure there are many listeners who'd say, oh, my great uncle so-and-so was an alcoholic, or he had issues, or this other one, this one abandoned her kids, or, you know, yeah, we have relatives who did things that are shameful. But when it comes to this uber question of enslavement and the violence of it, the legacy of it, the wealth created by it, the systematic institution building around it, right? It's a major trauma. It's a major trauma, and we have not confronted it as a trauma, and we frankly haven't even begun to, you know, we can't even address the kinds of questions that would allow us to do the proper healing, because there frankly are a lot of Americans who are still invested in the privileges that enslavement generated. They may not think of it racially, but it nonetheless is a real sort of factor in today's society. So I think, you know, it has to be talked about as a matter of trauma for everyone. And that would allow us to say, well, yes, we have some heroic relatives and we have some relatives who were not necessarily heroic in that way, but that makes sense. But we still have work to do and we're still connected to this history.
Beverly, did you want to share a thought about
that? Yes. Ben Jealous is an incredible man and has an incredible history on both sides of his family and has a high level of education and understanding of these racial and social issues. There are a lot of people, a lot of black people, who do not think that they would find heroic relatives in their history. They think that they're going to find, of course, enslaved people in their history. And they don't even know, because the history has not been taught, of the kind of heroism, the kind of strategic organizing and community building that not only freed blacks, but enslaved blacks did under these horrific conditions in the 18th and 19th centuries. They don't know that that history exists and is one that they can claim.
Hmm. Well,
right. I just wanted to add one thing.
We
to
just
that
got a couple
point.
Seconds, Tricia.
Okay. No, I mean, I think that, you know, the history of slavery should not be a history of shame, right? Enslavement is not shame. I mean, surviving it is extraordinary. And I think that is another way to prevent this misunderstanding.
Well, Tricia Rose is the director of Brown University's Center for the Study of Race and Ethnicity in America, joining us today from KQED in San Francisco. Tricia, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And Beverly Morgan Welsh, executive director at the Museum of African American History in Beacon Hill. Thank you so very much for coming in today.
Thank you, and come to the museum.
Will do. Listeners, there's more of the show in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.